it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, although we are minus Donick for most of the show. He's in Big D. That's where the Predators are. Predators and Stars tonight at 7:30. That's the puck drop. And that'll be the first matchup this season between those two teams. Division rivals, yes, back in the same division again after last season's reconfigured divisions for the pandemic. But tonight it'll be Dallas, tomorrow in St. Louis. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call at 7:30. I'll have pregame for you at 6:30. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside. We're here live at Hawkins Field.
Yes, the Hawk.
The Hawk, the home of Vanderbilt baseball, the Green Monster to the left. You've got,
this jumbo, place is so nice.
The Jumbotron in left center. You've got the football stadium right there to our left, Dudley Field. And that'll be where they're hosting Kentucky. A little blackout Saturday night.
Yeah, that'll be fun. It'll be a fun game.
I was a little surprised at the line. Did you look at the line?
No, actually.
Okay, what do you think it is?
Kentucky by 10.5.
Okay, that's... I don't think that's crazy. I would have said Kentucky by 13.
Yeah.
But not quite
two touchdowns.
I don't think 10.5 is crazy, but I would have said Kentucky by 13. That's the number I had in my head.
Yeah.
It's three touchdowns.
21?
20.5, 21, depending on where you look at.
I think I'd go Vandy in the points. Well, I don't know. I mean, Kentucky is – I asked Clark Lee about that yesterday. If you're going, and and Vandy can say the same thing, but Kentucky's desperate.
And that's basically what he said. We're kind of desperate for
right
too.
Right. I mean, but Kentucky's where they were, and in that situation now they've lost three straight. I don't know. Just depends on which Vandy team shows up. Got some guys coming back.
You could also say it depends on what Kentucky team shows up.
That's fair. That's fair. You've lived that your whole life.
Well, I've seen some wild Kentucky Vanderbilt games, let me tell you that, over the years.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I saw a wild one with Jay Cutler here.
Yep.
And I was up in the rooftop area watching it from up there.
Is that like 04?
Above the press box.
Yeah.
When Vanderbilt was getting drilled, and the next thing you know, there's a monster comeback.
Yeah. I was at that game. I wasn't where you were.
It was a crazy game.
That was like what, 04? 03, 04? Somewhere in there?
A long time ago. My hair was a lot darker.
couple of radio stations ago.
Yeah. I had radio butt by then, I'm sure. I've since shedded radio butt.
You have.
Because if you don't watch it in this business, like, for example, here we are at the Hawk, and they've been gracious to, feed us with breakfast. And, we come in, and, Robbie and Rex Road are, in a break, and they're over there, donuts. And I'm like, what is going on over there? And then, I just see pieces of, shrapnel of donuts flying everywhere. I take cover. I'm like, what's happening? And they are just annihilating this box of donuts. And then I went over there and I looked at the donuts and I went, oh, my gosh. And the next thing you know, they go back on the air. And what are we both doing?
They were good, though. And I needed breakfast.
Ladarius is going, what is wrong with you guys? But he had probably eaten two before we got here.
Yeah, he had one.
Okay, he said one.
He said he had one.
These donuts are ridiculous. Ridiculous. These are not, what were they, parlor donuts? Is that right? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they're good.
I have to walk home from here. I can't, I'm going to have to do something, or at least go down the Hawk and do some running around the bases. after the show. I mean, I have to do something.
That'd be a good workout.
I mean, like, I can't do Freddy's last night. Like, the two meal, you know, I wouldn't say that was a meal today, but it was breakfast for me. Like, I cannot, I'll have to do something active. Like, I had Freddy's last night for the first time.
How was it? Yeah, you were going to give us a report.
It was really good. It was packed. It was crazy packed. About 7:45. It just opened, so, you know, that's how it works.
It's early.
You know, everybody's going to check out the new thing. The question is, do they keep coming back? I think they will. It's a cool concept. The food is good. They've figured it out, especially that early on. They're very friendly. They had a, by the way, listen to this, a ton of workers. Isn't this crazy?
Oh, wow. That's what a concept.
Like, how did Freddy's find all the workers?
Glad people to work. Are doing that.
How did they do that? It was full staff. Full staff.
Well, that's good.
I mean, just, I don't know. There's probably 20 people working there.
Wow.
It's not a huge place. I was like, wow. Okay.
Very cool.
That's why Arby's shut down at 7 o'clock. They're all working at Freddy's. Nobody wants to work at Arby's in Smyrna because they shut down at 7:30.
Well,
Freddy's was open till 10, but it was good. So I can't go from, and I had the custard, and I got a bunch of suggestions yesterday on Twitter, and I know a bunch of people were texting in because there is a location in Clarksville, but this is the only one here in Nashville proper, you know, Middle Tennessee, right here. I don't know, is Clarksville considered Middle Tennessee? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But I guess in the Nashville area, it's the only one. But, you know, I got suggestions about cheese. You got to do the cheese curds. You got to do the custard. And so I did both. And, thumbs up. It was good. But I can't go from Freddy's for dinner last night after Maddox's basketball practice to the Parlor Donut that was the size of my left rear tire on my car and full of chocolate and sauces. And it was just melted in your mouth. Like, I'm going to have to go run the Hawk for sure a little bit later.
Well, hey, whatever you got to do. Maybe Corbs will let us go take some cuts. Well, maybe he'll let you go take some cuts. He probably doesn't.
Well,
probably knows what I'll bring to the table.
If I want to get a good laugh in, I would like for you to take some cuts.
Well, I went to Topgolf last night, so you've seen that before.
Yeah, you've already complained to me about how you're sore from Topgolf.
Yeah, my shoulder hurts a little bit. I was getting after it.
What does that mean, though? You were getting after it.
I mean, I was putting a lot into it.
You were a golf simulator. What do you mean you were getting after it?
We got some distance going on the ball. You know, there's no direction. You look disheveled.
Well, I just hope. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. There's things I'm missing. I'm
like your phone,
making sure. Yeah, and keys and other stuff. So I think it's up there. Okay, that's fine. It's just as long as it's here.
Yeah, it's here. I can't
just kind of. Freaked out there for a minute.
It's okay.
So you were crushing it? I mean, what is that? I mean, because obviously you're playing a game, like the points game.
Yeah,
and
I was with some
friends.
So
were you trying to hit it far, or were you going for the bunny?
I was trying to get, you know, go to the targets. And
Right, but were the short targets or the long targets?
Just, you know, wherever it would go.
Or just whatever points you could gather?
Yeah. Yeah, so.
So it was like a pool game with slop matters.
Yeah, here's the best part. I nailed one and got it to the blue target for like 20 points, 25, something like that. One of the best shots I've ever hit, and it wasn't on my name. It was on somebody else's name, so they got the points. I was so mad. I forgot to switch it. And then I couldn't do it again. But, you know, it was still fun. We know what I bring to the table, so.
You didn't win, but you had fun.
I had a good time.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
Well, good.
So, Vandy had an event there. So, Coach Stack and the team, they were there. They were on one of the other floors, but you know, they had an event. So, I was just there with friends on a Tuesday night. But it was a good time.
College basketball season underway last night. Good lineup. You had Michigan State and Kansas. A little double dip on ESPN. Kansas came out on top, and then Kentucky Duke in the nightcap.
Yeah.
And Duke was pretty much in control the whole game.
Is that is this the Coach K farewell tour and what they're going to be,
clearly, he is. You can tell he's retiring after this season because that's probably the nicest interview I've ever seen him do in his life after the game with Holly Rowe. So you could tell he is, you know, I guess he's going to get a grandfather clock somewhere when he goes somewhere, and somebody would give him a rocking chair, and I don't know what other gifts they'll give him on his farewell tour, but he's in good spirits because that's got to be the – I mean, he gave her a hug after the interview. I was like, yeah, this guy already has 1 foot out the door for retirement because – last time, let's pull the clip of the last time Coach K hugged the reporter after an interview.
Yeah,
after a game.
It was when he didn't have Paolo Banchero on his team. That's for sure.
Never. But he's had great players come through there. I mean, what's different about all the other greats that have come through?
That's true.
I mean, are you saying this is the greatest ever?
He'll be one of. I mean, this kid's 6'11 and played point guard some last night. Like, he's pretty good. He's, like, the consensus number one pick if the season ended now in the NBA draft. But the kid's a unicorn.
Yeah. He has a lot of cramps, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he needs to get those worked out. I have a lot of cramps after the donut that I ate.
But, yeah, it's good to see college basketball back. Tough loss for Belmont.
Yeah, well, Ohio's going to be good, but obviously there's huge expectations for Belmont. And, I was a little surprised to see them lose by double digits last night.
Yeah, 92-80 was the final there. Austin Peay won. Vandy obviously plays tonight. Tennessee won in their season opener. So it's good that college hoops is going again. I know Elijah had a good night just watching the hoops.
There's – he was a little late to responding to everything. I knew he was engulfed in college basketball.
Yeah, the cell phone screen was being used to watch some of that UTC Loyola Marymount game last night. Big win for them, by the way, too. 7-point dogs on the West Coast. They're going to be pretty good this year, too.
A lot of hype around Gonzaga, too.
Yeah.
And they're you know, they got they had the number one recruit in the country, right?
Mm-hmm. Chet Holmgren. Had just, you know, in his first game, getting 14 points, 13 boards, 7 assists, 7 block shots. That kid is also a unicorn.
Yeah.
UCLA.
Vanderbilt tonight will host Alabama State at Memorial Gym. All right, let's come back. Let's talk with Paul.
Hi, Paul.
We'll talk with Paul Feinbaum on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase live here at Hawkins Field on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. We are live here at Hawkins Field on Vanderbilt's campus. They will kick off their college basketball season tonight over Memorial Gym. They will host Kentucky Saturday night, right to our left at Dudley Field. But right now, you know the music. Starting at 2 o'clock every day, you can listen to Paul Feinbaum's show on 94.9. And Paul is brought to you every week on our show by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Paul, good morning. How you doing?
Everything is great, guys. Good morning.
It wasn't great for Gary Barta last night trying to explain how in the hell Michigan is in front of Michigan State when they just played each other and one team beat the other.
Yeah, it reminds me of some of the punditry about the recent elections. Forget what we see in front of us. Just this is how we feel about it. We could all agree here that Michigan's probably a better football team than Michigan State. But that's not what happened in the game. And my biggest problem with the committee, the Oregon-Ohio State game is a little different. That was week two. A lot's happened in 8 weeks. Teams change, personnel changes. But nothing has happened since Michigan and Michigan State played, other than the Michigan State in a predictable hangover went out and lost and Michigan won. But the head-to-head was still obvious. And They're sending a very bizarre signal. On one hand, they're ranking Oregon ahead of Ohio State. I don't think most football power index experts believe that is true. And then they're coming right back and saying, you know, we think Michigan is better than Michigan State, even though Michigan State won the game. Now, having said all that, guys, I'll sound like a broken record. It really won't matter because Michigan State plays Ohio State next week. Michigan plays Penn State this week and plays Ohio State in 2 weeks. But from a credibility standpoint, it is ridiculous when you make these claims with a straight face.
Yeah. Do you think there's a chance the Big Ten cannibalizes itself, or do you see someone as the clear-cut winner and is going to slide into that top four spot or stay in the top four spot?
I think Ohio State's the best team, but you know they have a difficult road, and I think it's entirely possible, not likely, but possible that Michigan could beat them in a one-game playoff, and then there's still a championship game after that with whoever wants to be the sacrificial lamb from the other side. But I think ultimately they'll probably survive. The Big Ten is on center stage right now. It's a good league. You can say whatever you want, but it's pretty deep when you think about what Purdue has done. The fact that Iowa once was the number two team in the country. Nebraska is the best team in the country I've ever seen for losing one possession games. I've never seen anything quite like it. And ultimately, I think they'll probably survive.
You know, when you brought that up about Ohio State, and you're right, on paper, just, you know, what we know about their recruiting and, you know, Ryan Day and their system and their offense, sure, they're impressive. They are more talented than most anybody they're going to ever face. So they're the more talented team. But, gosh, I still watch them, and I'll use the NFL comparison that we keep bringing up every week when we do our NFL top 10 rankings, Paul. You know, Buffalo, I get it. On paper, they look really good. And you know, they've been really good here in this, like, three-year window. But I watch them every week, and I feel like every week I become less and less impressed with them. And I kind of feel that way about the entire country outside of Georgia. I feel like every week there's really no juggernaut other than Georgia. I think anybody can lose.
Yeah,
do you agree or disagree?
On Alabama right now.
I mean,
they came within a whisker of losing to Florida, which now has five losses.
Yep.
Let's be honest, they should have lost to LSU. And that would have been, statistically one of the most monumental upsets we've ever seen. But, you know, they survived because, you know, I think Ed O was too busy trying to be a cheerleader during the game as opposed to a head coach. And ultimately, there is great separation. And having said all that, you know, I do a show every day, as you guys know. Where fans obsess about everything that's wrong. And even Georgia fans are finding fault with their team, and they're still the best team in the country. That's just the way we are.
Wow. That's interesting. They're finding – I mean, I just don't – I think Kirby Smart's in a weird spot because they are expected to do nothing other than just run the table and finish. I mean, when that is your expectations as we sit here in mid-November, like, you have to run the table, you have to finish this thing off, and you have to be crowned national champs. Whew! If that is your expectations, then anything less is a failure. I mean, I know that's ultimately where you want to be, but, man, that's – I don't know. That probably has some sleepless nights for Kirby Smart, I would think, moving forward the rest of the way.
No, he has now taken the Nick Saban mantle as the scoreless winner because there's really nothing – there's nothing he can – you know, he's got a quarterback conundrum. This week will be, I think, one of the most interesting Saturdays of the year for Georgia because they're playing a team that – is really hard to describe in Tennessee. Let's give Jeremy Pruitt one last pat on the back before we kick him in the gutter and stomp his face and break his head. But you know, he did bring Hendon Hooker over, and without him, I don't know where Tennessee would be right now. I mean, they're in a really interesting game Saturday in Knoxville, and it's because of one player primarily.
Yeah, I mean, what they did in Lexington, and Kentucky will be here where we are on Saturday night, and now Kentucky. I know early on we were talking about Kentucky, and then now they've dropped three in a row. But what they did in Lexington on Saturday when the time of possession was 44 minutes to 16, they converted three third downs, and Kentucky ran 99 plays on offense, and Tennessee still won the game and scored 45 points. That is unbelievable to me.
Yeah, it seems like maybe the karma came back on their side. They probably should have won the Ole Miss game. They let that one get away. They, you know, let the Pittsburgh game get away. And so this was really I was really happy to see that for them. And yeah, I'll leave Kentucky's conversation elsewhere because they really just don't matter anymore. But Yeah, but you know, Josh Heupel's done a phenomenal job of just stringing this thing together with duct tape, and that's really what he's done.
Couldn't agree more. I think the interesting team in all of this is Oklahoma, right? Because they truly can, when you say controlling your own destiny, and they probably haven't felt that way because they've been on the way outside looking in basically this entire time of the rankings, but they truly have the ability to be in that Final Four because their strength of schedule the rest of the way is going to be by far better than anybody else's.
Yeah. I think the committee, you know, if I could give them a little credit, I mean, they're playing games with us right now about Oklahoma. Oklahoma has so many opportunities left, and you know, if they went out, there's not even a doubt. They have the toughest road ahead, and they're a much better team than they were. This was not bizarre, but they really weren't a good team with Spencer Rattler. They are a high level team right now. I think they're one of the top four teams in the country.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum, the SEC Network, ESPN. Okay, so let's have the Kentucky conversation then, Paul, because losing the three straight, they should win this weekend at Vanderbilt. But, you know, we've talked with you about Stoops and possibly, you know, a bigger job for him and his stock. I mean, how much has the last three games damaged that or has it?
It has. I mean, he's still a very good coach. And I've never believed you should hire a coach on whether he wins a game or not on a given weekend. You either think he can turn your program around or and I think he's a good I think he can do that. But this is such a reflection on Kentucky though, because this is now the second time in a couple of seasons that they were the talk of the country and then they just completely imploded. And yeah, when they had that run in I think it was 18. They came right back and lost to Tennessee. They did it again. And I know they have a lot of, you know, injury. Everybody has injuries by the 11th week of the season. And it's a bad look. I still think Stoops has done just about all he can do, though. I think this is more if he gets an offer, I believe he will take it, as opposed to saying, you know what, I'm gonna stick around and try to mine the state of Ohio for a couple more linemen. And maybe, you know, grab somebody in the portal. Because I think at this point you just have to realize it's not getting any better at Kentucky.
So a couple of games to look at this weekend. Texas A&M and Ole Miss might be one of the more intriguing ones besides Tennessee-Georgia. But, you know, both of them have two losses right there together in the rankings. I kind of like Ole Miss at home, even though they're the underdog. But how do you view this one?
Yeah, I'm probably leaning the other way. Maybe I just spent last weekend in Aggie land, and I'm man, when you go out there, I mean, you feel like you're ready to suit up and play. They have a really good team, but I just worry about Matt Corral. I think he's so banged up right now. He's very limited. They don't have a lot of weapons, and I just feel like their time is about to run out.
So South Carolina coming off a huge win against Florida, and it's huge because it was ugly. It was just a blowout, and they're going to play Missouri. Nobody really cares about that game, but what does this mean for Dan Mullen? I mean, because there's been so much shine on him, and he comes to Florida, and you think national championship contenders, and it hasn't been that way, and then this year is just, let's call it what it is, a disaster. He's making staff changes already. What does this look like moving forward?
Well, I'll give you the take as of today. I mean, the betting line is he'll survive. But, you know, if he does, and I still think other things could happen the rest of the way, you know, he's on the hottest seat in the country next year. And that's just the fact that we're even talking about this is pretty remarkable. You know, I'll never forget walking out of Gainesville, 2 months ago, and that was the best loss I've ever seen when Alabama, you know, held on to beat them. And, you know, he has been a fair-haired coach, but the shine's off. And I understood the Todd Grantham decision. That was a Twitter play there. Okay, you guys have been asking for Grantham. I'll give it to you. But the other guy, which is really his, you know, he's the offensive line coach, but a guy that's been with him for his entire career, That one blew me away because I don't know what you gain by sacrificing your offensive line coach with three games remaining. You're the offensive coordinator. You work in tandem with this guy. It just seemed desperate. It reeked of a crass desire to fade the heat. And I would still watch this story. I know I'm kind of rambling here, but you know, should they lose to Florida State or Missouri, I do think that will do him in.
Mm. Really? Wow. Are you surprised with, you know, as good of a coach as he's been at, you know, Mississippi State and even at times at Florida, that he can't figure out? I mean, Trask was okay, but he can't figure out the quarterback position.
And you know, one thing about it, I mean, Dan Mullen gets in Dan Mullen's way. He's got an attitude, which helps make him a really good offensive coordinator, but it makes him a terrible recruiter. And I think the worst combination for him is, you know, let's say he loses another game, and he could lose to Florida State. I don't think that's inconceivable. You know, and then he would literally be, you know, do we keep him or do we not? And secondly, on top of that, if Georgia wins the national championship, I mean, that's their biggest rival. And, you know, if you look around the SEC, it looks like, you know, doesn't look like it. Tennessee is getting better. South Carolina's a little bit better. Missouri went backwards this year. Kentucky's exactly where Kentucky always is. And, you know, where are you right now? And you know, the recruiting rankings are his biggest enemy. And I think he's, yeah, and everyone says, oh, well, he and Scott Strickland are great friends. Well, guys, if Scott Strickland sticks with him and it doesn't work, Scott Strickland then is endangering his own future as the athletic director. And I don't know any athletic director other than Philip Fulmer, who a year ago mortgaging his career on Jeremy Pruitt, who would make a move like that.
So we obviously don't know how this is going to end with the last three games, but do you think that when this is all said and done, that it's going to be a situation where Dan Mullen was great at a job like Mississippi State, he fits in a place like that, but the Florida job was just simply too big for him?
Yes, I do. The Florida job right now has almost been too big for everyone but Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer. When you think about the failures that they have had there, I mean, in succession, after Urban, you had Will Muschamp, Jim McElwain, and now Dan Mullen, and it's possible that none of these guys work out. So, you know, is it bigger than the head coach? And the only solace for Dan Mullen is that the two guys that turned the job down before him, Chip Kelly and Scott Frost, are both doing worse than he is.
Hmm. Good stuff. And I said Monday show, I feel like he's now suffering the Auburn syndrome. You know, he's, because of Georgia, and you said it, their rivalry and Kirby Smart's success, it's kind of like what Auburn goes through every year. They, you know, like we, the Alabama syndrome, and now I feel like it's fallen into the lap at Florida because they're like, why are we taking a backseat to Georgia every year now? At least that's just my two cents. I don't know if that's
really important. No, by the way, that rivalry is very deep. So,
yep.
That is now the story in the SEC. I mean, Ed Ogeron, that was, seems like a year ago that he got fired.
Yeah, no doubt. Paul, appreciate the chat as always. Have a great rest of your week and a good show today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Paul Feinbaum brought to you by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Good stuff from Paul. We'll come back, continue the discussion on the other side. We're live at Hawkins Field on the campus of Vanderbilt. We will have the AD stop by to begin the second hour of the program. Yes, Candace Story Lee. We're looking forward to talking with her. We'll also check in with Willie in Dallas at some point in the second hour, and a lot more coming as we sit here on this Wednesday. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel in the third hour. We'll also get a little preview on their next opponent, the Saints, in the third hour from their play-by-play guy. And then we'll just keep this thing rolling until 2 o'clock.
Got Mace.
Chris Mason from Dallas at 1 o'clock. A lot going on today.
Oh, yeah. Lots of stuff.
By the way, beautiful day.
It's gorgeous. Gorgeous. I went and sat out in the seats for like 30 minutes, and it was just very nice.
Yeah, it is. It is so nice. All right, we'll come back. More on the other side here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe live here at Hawkins Field. Darius is our on-site engineer. Elijah Campbell manning things at the game studios after soaking up probably about 8 hours of college basketball last night. Our NFL game of the week this week will be the Vikings. Boy, they've looked really good the last couple of weeks. At Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. That'll be a big one for the Chargers. They need to keep winning games if they want to be a playoff team. That game will kick off at 3:05. That will be heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and that'll be brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Oklahoma does have the path, the best path of anybody. They are a different team since they made the quarterback change. I don't think it's unrealistic to think they can run the table. And if they do so, they'll be in.
I mean, it's not unrealistic, but I don't think this – I think this weekend is going to be tough for them against Baylor, and I think Oklahoma State could possibly get them this year. I think that game is going to mean a lot for Oklahoma. But you're right. If they run the table, then they're probably going to get in.
No, it's not probably. They're in. If they run the table, they're in. There's no probably to it. There's no way you're keeping out an undefeated Oklahoma. No chance.
Okay, well.
Especially winning at Baylor, Iowa State, at Oklahoma State, and the Big 12 championship. So, there's no way.
So, but what if Oregon and Ohio State, and I guess Alabama, all continue? They went out.
Well, they've like, all lost.
But who are you taking out?
And Alabama, by the way, is going to be in an SEC championship game against Georgia.
I understand that. But if they – so if the top four, as they currently sit, all have one loss, which one are you taking out to put Oklahoma in if they run the table?
Well, I guess number four. And I mean, tell me what else happens. One, Ohio State's going to have better chances to get bigger wins than Oregon. They just will. Alabama may end up being left out because they're going to lose – if they lose to Georgia in the SEC championship game, bye-bye. They have two losses. They're not going to – they won't be able to overcome that, even though I don't agree with it.
I mean, I still think with two losses, Alabama could still get in.
Well, tell me what everybody else does.
If they lose a close game to Georgia in the SEC championship game, and
what's Oklahoma's record?
Well,
I mean, you have I understand. Yeah, if Oklahoma's got two losses,
they have no wiggle room at all. So if Oklahoma loses any of these next three games, it's done. It's a wrap. Like, it's not even a conversation anymore. But so I would say Oklahoma and Oregon probably have that against them just because of the schedules they play in the conferences that they're in. I mean, Oregon's biggest test is Utah, I guess, which is the 24th ranked team. So they have who would they get in the Pac-12 championship?
You know, it's not going to be anything comparable to, like I said, the path for the Big 12 or the Big 10.
Michigan, they're all playing each other.
Who?
Yeah. I mean, Michigan State have to play
Ohio. No, they've already played each other.
Or have to play Ohio State,
yeah,
is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, you may be right. I disagree with how this system works because you're going to punish Alabama because the Texas A&M loss looks better.
Oh yeah,
looks a lot better. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to punish them if they lose in a conference championship game to what we all believe
Texas
to be the best
A&M
team
on the road.
Yeah,
and you lose to the best team in the country.
Right. But you're going to get punished for that. Even though I get it, you lost, but you're going to get punished for that, and Oklahoma's going to get rewarded playing in a weaker conference.
Yeah. Well,
and I disagree with it. I think if you're going by the best four teams in the country, if that scenario plays out, I'm putting Alabama in over Oklahoma.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Who's the weaker conference, Pac-12 or Big 12?
That's a good question. Probably the Pac-12. Yeah,
okay.
Pac-12.
So, then you can't say that. I mean, I think.
Okay, then you take
Oregon. I think
out.
The Pac-12 is a weaker conference than the Big 12.
And that and there may be your scenario that they kick Oregon out and keep Alabama in and put Oklahoma in. That could very well be it. But I still, it's just when you play in the best conferences, and we agree that the SEC is the best conference, the Big Ten is second, you should get rewarded because of that strength of schedule. And even if you lose a game or two, it shouldn't, I mean, it certainly should hurt you, but it shouldn't hurt you like to completely kick you out. That's where it gets convoluted.
I will say this, and some of this, what I'm going to say, is going to make you really, really happy because I know how you feel about this individual. I think everybody in the country is flawed but Georgia. Like, Georgia is just that good. Their defense is off the charts good. I mean, when you're holding opponents to less than double digits per game in the middle of November, like, that's ridiculous. And, oh, by the way, they can score. Like, Georgia's the best team in the country.
No doubt.
Period.
No argument.
Like, there's no arguments.
None.
At all. Everybody else, warts.
Some bigger than others.
Some have more visible warts than others.
Yep.
Some are all over their arms and on their face, and you can see them.
Yep.
Others, they're kind of tucked away on their back and the front. You got a shirt on. You can't see them, but they got warts.
Right.
Okay, they have warts. Alabama has warts. This is not your typical Alabama team. This Alabama team is flawed. They can't run the football. Their offense is not great. They're just not a juggernaut that they've been in this entire run. This is one of the lesser impressive Alabama teams. Now, you may disagree with that. There may be people out there disagree, but I've watched them all season. You tell me. I mean, they slept. I don't know where they sleep. Were they sleepwalking against LSU? That's just what they are. I mean, the point is, the part that you're going to get excited is that I think Nick Saban's going to encourage, maybe strongly encourage, Bill O'Brien to look elsewhere for something else.
Oh yeah, I don't think
think he's trotting him back as his OC next year.
I don't either. I don't think that's worked.
This doesn't look like Lane Kiffin's offense. It doesn't look like Steve Sarkisian's offense. This looks like actually what I think Nick Saban loves, you know, the old school, but the old school doesn't look very pretty anymore, does it?
No.
You know, it's kind of like you always thought you wanted the old girlfriend back, and then you see her 10 years later, and you're like, I think I did all right.
Yeah.
I think,
it worked out.
It's not what I thought.
Right.
And so, it all worked out. I'm glad that I don't really have those same feelings of wish we were back together again. I see her 10 years later, and I'm like, You see their offense?
Yeah. No, I mean, you're making a really good point.
Like, he didn't want to – the rest of college football forced him to change, which the greats do, and he was smart enough to do that. And I'm sure at first he bristled and hated it. But now that he's seen Lane Kiffin – and Steve Sarkisian, but really it's Lane Kiffin who should get the credit.
Yep.
What their offense is capable of doing, basically today's college football style, I'm sure little Nicky has completely embraced it because it doesn't have that feel with Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien kind of feels like the old college football way,
yep.
Which I think Nick would have loved until now he's been with this new girlfriend for so long. He then looks at the old girlfriend and goes, wow, at the time I didn't realize I came out on the better end, but I've come out on the better end.
Well, I mean, you watch Ole Miss. I mean, Lane's offense is fun. It's just that's what it is. Heupel's offense is fun.
You're thinking you think this Tennessee offense is better than last year's Tennessee offense?
This Tennessee offense is better.
You think it's better than Jeremy Pruitt's offense?
I think it's better than like the last 10 years.
Are you really? You think it's better than Butch Jones's offense, Jeremy Pruitt's offense, and Derek Dooley's offense?
I would love to see.
Really?
I would have loved to have seen Josh Dobbs in this offense.
Wow. That was a big stretch by you.
No, a fact's a fact.
It is a fact.
I'm stating a fact.
It's not even close, right?
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, Billy O is probably going to go back to the NFL.
I think that he is going to help.
Yeah.
Your boy, Bill O'Brien.
Nick will help him find a job in the NFL.
Whatever he wants.
Where you want to go, Bill?
I will make the call, and I'll get you hired.
Houston's the only city I can't get you hired in.
I don't think – well, I don't know. Maybe the Cougars would take him, but yeah. I don't know. They're just not the same. But with that being said, and I know the committee's not going to do this, but I'll then ask you, is Oregon have the same record as Alabama with their schedule?
No.
Cincinnati have their same record?
No.
Right.
Hell no.
So all these teams.
Does Oklahoma have the same?
Probably. I don't think. Ohio State doesn't.
I mean, if you know, Oklahoma, what they should
do. Were you
do,
impressed by Ohio State on Saturday?
No.
I wasn't either.
No. I honestly haven't been that impressed with them at all this year.
I know. Like, you just keep waiting. I go back
like
to the.
They're there right now because they're Ohio State.
Right. And
that's why.
Right, image.
Yeah,
and
they're Ohio
we
State.
Know their recruits. We know their talent, but it's like, okay, and this is the same reference that I brought up with Paul. Like, okay, like Willie, you want to keep ranking the Bills high. Well, every week I'm waiting for the Bills to be the Bills again, and I watch them lose to the Jags. I watch them sleepwalk for three quarters against the Dolphins and then kind of wake up and find a way to win at home against a bad Dolphins team. That's not impressive. They've got three losses. Like, okay, we know they have talent, but at some point you have to show it every week. They're not showing it.
Yeah.
The same deal goes for Ohio State. Like, I'm not impressed. I mean,
but
they're not
really
the same juggernaut either.
Outside of Georgia, is there anybody that really just impresses you?
No.
No, I mean, like, look at if
– I think every week any of these teams outside of Georgia can lose.
Yeah, which in a way is fun. Like, that creates some – you know, controversy and discussion. But, I mean, if they go to the 12-team playoff right now, they just come out tomorrow and say, we're going to do it right now.
I think it would be crazy. It'd be crazy fun.
It'd be crazy fun. But tell me of the top 12, anybody besides Alabama. Well, I'll even put Alabama in there. Is anybody in the top 12 not named Georgia that could beat Georgia or give Georgia a game?
No, probably not. Nope.
I mean –
no, not probably not. No, the answer is no.
Yeah, and that's what it would be. Now,
but the rest of the games
getting there?
Right, the rest of the games would be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Wake Forest in there, like trying to do something. Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. I mean, that's what they're looking for, but right now we have, you know, the rankings that come out every week, and we have the fun conversation of this top four and what it looks like, and who gets in and who's not. I mean, I was telling Ricky last night, like, dude, I love you. Cincinnati, it's just not going
to
happen.
But to his credit, when we've had these discussions, you know he has tweeted or texted and said.
And he knows it.
He's realistic. He is a realistic Cincinnati fan, unlike others that we know or other that we know who's unrealistic.
If they beat the brakes off of USF, SMU and ECU the next 3 weeks, and Notre Dame's got to help them.
No, look.
But there's just a lot of ifs.
Look,
it's not going
to
happen.
I've been watching them, and I've been saying it. I've been very consistent. Like, you can keep trying to tell me Cincinnati. They're not a top four team. They're just not. Just watch them. Just watch them, and you tell me they're a top four team. Last year's Cincinnati team in this climate is a top four team. This Cincinnati team this year is not.
Yep. They're not.
How blown away and impressed were you with their win over Tulsa Saturday? Wow. Tulsa, they're good, aren't they?
No. I wasn't.
Navy, they're good, aren't they? Tulane, all these teams that they keep barely beating, they're just not. So to Ricky's credit, he is a big Bearcats fan, and every time we have this discussion, he says he agrees.
Yep.
So, you know.
And they'll get, you know what? They'll get a New Year's Six Bowl, and that's great for them. And that's what they'll do, but they're not making it. They're not going to be in the top four.
I don't know if they will or they won't. I'm just saying. I keep saying
a lot
they
is going to have to. Happen.
They don't belong there because they're just not a top four team. They're just not.
I mean,
not this year.
A lot is going to have to happen. Like, they need Michigan to beat Ohio State. They need Oregon to slip up.
Yeah, but if Michigan beats Ohio State, then they're in the driver's seat.
You're right. Then Michigan gets in. It's fun. It's fun chaos. But
I would like to see the 12 team this year. I think Georgia still wins, but I would like to see everybody else play.
Oh, so would I.
All the other matchups to get to the national championship game, because I think it would be fun and wide open.
Texas A&M would be the one that I think could play spoiler somewhere in there. Being down in the rankings.
By the way, and with the so if it was set up, what, 1 versus 12, 2 versus 11, 3 versus 10, 4 versus 9, 5 versus 8?
6
Cincinnati,
versus
7. Cincinnati plays Oklahoma. Who wins?
I'd say Oklahoma's a 3-point favorite on a neutral site.
I say Oklahoma's a 6-point favorite.
You say 6?
Yep.
I think Oklahoma. Oklahoma wins that game.
I think Oklahoma would be a 6-point favorite.
Yeah, I could see it.
As the 8 seed.
Yeah.
You tell me, Cincinnati belong in?
No. With that logic, no.
I'm just saying, if we agree that Oklahoma's the favorite, then how are you going to sit here and argue that Cincinnati belongs in if we're going to agree that Cincinnati would be the underdog to Oklahoma?
Right. Are you not sure Oklahoma would be the favorite, though? I mean, they've struggled against some bad teams, too. I mean,
but
Kansas led for majority of that game, and Kansas is a horrific.
But that was with Ritter.
No, that was with Caleb Williams.
Rattler.
Caleb Williams was playing.
He had made the switch.
I just think that offense is clicking.
They're coming together. I think it's getting better. Look. We've just said it, though. I'm not going to push back too much, Elijah, because we just sat here and made the statements that everybody's got warts. I mean, they're none of them are pretty. None of them are the 16-hand thoroughbred that you look at them and you go, holy cow, they're going to win this race by
only
other
one
than
of those.
Georgia. Georgia is the only one,
yeah. Right?
Georgia is the only thoroughbred you look at and say, wow. I would compare this horse to Seattle Slew. The rest of them, it's like, yeah, okay. 12-1, 10-1, 11-1, maybe you'll get an 8-1, 15-1. They're all kind of lumped in there in that same window. Because everybody else can lose on any week.
Yep.
I don't trust any of them. I don't trust. So I'm not going to sit here and say I would trust Oklahoma because I don't trust Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma can absolutely stumble for sure because they're not perfect. They're not a juggernaut.
I think Ohio State.
Georgia's the only one. If they stumble, I'm going to be like, wow.
I mean, Purdue's a 20-point dog on the road going to the Shoe, and Purdue's played spoiler all year.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think they're going to win, but it also at the same time wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
You know, because of what you just said. How it's been this year.
Spoiler.
We're live at Hawkins Field here on this gorgeous Wednesday morning here on the campus of Vanderbilt. They will kick off their college basketball season on the men's side tonight. The women got things started last night with a win. And, of course, the football game here to our left will be Saturday night under the lights, a little blackout for Vanderbilt and Kentucky. We'll come back, talk with the athletics director to begin the second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.